Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news in full at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, over €3,000 worth of drugs have been seized in Letterkenny last week. The emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital remains extremely busy today after a difficult weekend. A man has been reprimanded in custody after being charged with possessing sensitive documents linked to a major data breach with the PSNI. And police say they are becoming increasingly concerned for the welfare of a missing man with links to Castlederg and Omagh. Those stories in full, plus more to come. Chris Ashmore will have the latest in sport at around 5:15. First in news, over €3,000 worth of drugs have been seized in Letterkenny. And Garda Síochána conducted an interagency search operation on Thursday last. Sheila Nocton reports.
Were searched under warrant in Letterkenny. This was in an operation by an Garda Síochána and the Health Products Regulatory Authority. The search was targeting the sale and supply of controlled drugs. As a result, benzodiazepines to a value of €1,100, €2,000 worth of steroids or controlled tablets, and 14 boxes of cannabis vapes were discovered and subsequently seized. They've been sent to Forensic Science Ireland for analysis. Gardaí said in a statement that inquiries are ongoing in relation to the investigation.
502 admitted patients were awaiting beds in hospitals around the country this morning, with Letterkenny University Hospital the third most overcrowded in the state. INMO figures show 335 were on emergency department trolleys, with 149 in inappropriate settings on wards. University Hospital Limerick was the worst affected by overcrowding, with 109 patients awaiting beds, followed by 48 at Cork University Hospital and 44 in Letterkenny. Of those waiting in Letterkenny University, 16 were on emergency department trolleys. Well, the emergency department at Letterkenny remains extremely busy today after that difficult weekend, while COVID-19 has affected four wards. Donal Kavanagh reports.
Selda says 119 people attended the emergency department yesterday, many of whom are very sick and need to be admitted to the hospital for treatment. As a result, they say there is ongoing pressure on bed availability at the hospital, with many patients currently experiencing long waiting times to be admitted from the ED to an acute bed. The hospital is also dealing with significant increases in COVID-19 presentations and admissions. There are currently 26 COVID-positive patients being treated at the hospital, with four wards in outbreak. Management say they're committed to treating everyone who presents in the emergency department, but will do so strictly in order of medical priority. That means many people are facing very long waiting times. They continue to request that people consider other options for non-emergency care before attending the emergency department, such as out-of-hours GP services and local pharmacies.
A man has been remanded in custody after being charged with possessing sensitive documents linked to a major data breach at the PSNI. He appeared before Coleraine Magistrates Court earlier today. Sean O'Regan reports.
The personal data of all serving members of the PSNI was mistakenly published online earlier this month in response to a Freedom of Information request. Details released included the surname and first initial of every employee, their rank or grade, where they're based and the unit they work in. Today, 50-year-old Christopher Paul O'Kane from Dungiven in Derry appeared in court, charged with possessing documents or records likely to be useful to terrorists and possession of articles for use in terrorism. A PSNI officer told the court Mr. O'Kane was in possession of a spreadsheet containing the names from the data leak on a phone found at his Dungiven home. The officer objected to bail based on the current heightened security situation. Bail was refused and Mr. O'Kane was remanded in custody for 4 weeks.
Police say they are becoming increasingly concerned for the welfare of a missing man, Keith Todd. He has links to both Omagh and Castlederg. He was last seen in the Omagh area this week and may have been trying to make his way to Castlederg. He was wearing grey trousers, a brown jacket when he was last seen. He is approximately 183 centimetres tall, of a slim build, and is 57 years old. A photo of Keith is available on our website on highlandradio.com. The Carrigan's Tidy Towns Committee has hit out at a vandalism incident on their installation at Pump Street. On today's 9 till noon show, Secretary Liam O'Donnell outlined how a large planter box was dragged into the pump, damaging both the box and the handle of the pump. He told Greg Hughes a vehicle had to have been used in the incident.
We put up a lovely old-style pump and a number of planter boxes on either side of it in order to protect it. They're really substantial, really heavy, and someone last Thursday night, it appears, deliberately had to be done with the vehicle, moved, reversed into or whatever, moved one of the planter boxes down on top of the pump and damaged it, damaged the planter box, and left the community and the committee obviously very disappointed that it happened, you know. It's the second time that it's happened. The items were funded by local fundraising activities for the community. The street is known as Pump Street, and a pump used to be there years ago, and this was one of the things that we did to try and enhance the village through funding as well from the Donegal County Council. And we find that people just can't leave it alone. You know, some people or persons or whatever have deliberately damaged the item, and it wasn't easily done. We'd really seek the public's help in identifying the culprits, perpetrators, as something needs to be done about it. You know, we've reported the incident to the local Gardaí, and we would ask that anybody in the locality, if they had any idea, just report it to the Gard. We just need to try and try and stamp this out.
There's a reminder to college students they could save €500 on their college contribution fee. Minister for Further Education and Higher Education, Simon Harris, says 8,000 students have already applied. Households with an annual income of less than €100,000 are eligible for the grant. Minister Harris posted a video aimed at students.
We wanted to make sure that anyone going to college with a household income of less than €100,000 got €500 off the college fees. About 8,000 of you have already applied for this, but I know many more of you are entitled to it. So please go to susie.ie, that's S-U-S-I.ie, where you can find out much more.
Other energy providers in Ireland may not reduce prices despite a new company on the market. UNO Energy launched operations today and offers a significant reduction for anyone who switches. The company owned by Prepay Power could potentially see households save €500. Dara Cassidy, head of communications with bonkers.ie, says it's unlikely this will lead to drops elsewhere.
Cost of generating electricity in Ireland is still very expensive. It has been for many, many years. But the wholesale price of electricity hasn't come down. It's still at over double the normal level. So there's, I suppose, really a limit to how far the price of households pay for their electricity. There's a limit to how far that can drop.
The gap between the better off and those on the lowest incomes has widened due to the government's last budget. Social Justice Ireland is warning it against repeating making this mistake for Budget 24. It says Budget 2023, the rich poor gap increased by €199 in the year, a gap which stands almost at €1,000 per week. Michelle Murphy is the economic and social analyst with Social Justice Ireland.
Our latest briefing looks at the impact of those measures across the income distribution. What you see is that the legacy of Budget 2023 is that those temporary measures are failing low-income households, in particular low-income workers earning between €50 and €20 an hour. And in fact, the gap between the better off and those on the lowest incomes, so those on social welfare working incomes, is actually growing. And the reason this is because a lot of those cost of living additional measures, they're temporary measures, such as the electricity credits that we've had, one-off additional welfare payments, fuel allowance payments, one-off additional child benefits payments. Those are temporary, those are one-off, and once you receive them and once you spend them, they're gone. Whereas the permanent measures announced last year really relate to tax and tax credits and tax bans, and the bulk, the benefit of those have gone to those on the higher income, those who are better off. So what we've actually seen is an increase in the rich-poor gap by nearly €200 a year. Which, you know, is really problematic in a time when people are finding it really difficult to make ends meet.
Mm-hmm. How would low-income, welfare-dependent families be prioritised in the budgetary policies?
Well, we're calling in Budget 2024 that we need to see a minimum increase in core social welfare rates of €20 a week across the board, and an increase of €50 in the child benefit payment as well. We're also looking for a cost of disability allowance, the introduction of a living wage, and also that families on the working family payment get access.
Early Childhood Ireland says Donegal's children are being let down because of decades-long focus on providing childcare for economic reasons. The organisation, which has 115 member settings in Donegal, has called on the government and policymakers to completely rethink their approach to early years and school age care. CEO Teresa Haney says emphasis has been calling on facilitating parents' access to the workforce rather than meeting the needs of children. She says that must change as the summer break comes to an end.
Many of the politicians are talking about the next budget would be a children's budget. I mean, we really welcome that. We really welcome the increased investment over the years in early childhood education and care. But there are very significant issues that mean that we need to double down on planning and levels of investment in order to make sure that our sector attracts and retains the great staff that we have and that there are sufficient places in the right towns and villages around the country for parents that need it. And the government needs to continue its focus on affordability. We require a highly qualified workforce, but in order to make sure that they continue to be motivated and continue to want to continue to work with our youngest children, they need to be well paid. They need to receive the same kinds of terms and conditions of employment that everybody wants. They need pension schemes, good maternity benefits and so on.
Are we in a situation where your members are being treated not as educators, but as babysitters?
Sometimes people use that analogy when they talk about early years, but nothing really could be further from the truth. All of our staff are professionally trained and qualified. We have a very high level of graduates leading the early years education in settings around the country. So while some people might flippantly talk about our sector as for babysitting, I mean, that's not the case. Nobody would ever think of our schools in that way, and certainly Early Childhood Ireland wouldn't think of its members in that way. We all know the work that they do in terms of their own professional development, their relationships with children, their relationships with parents. Nothing really could be further from the truth, and we every day are really proud of the work that they do, that our members do with the children and their services.
Grocery inflation is still much higher than the rest of the economy. Figures from Kantar show it's more than 12% from the past 3 months. CSO estimates put the general inflation rate at just under 5% for the past year. It's the third time in a row the rate has slowed, and it's the lowest inflation rate recorded in supermarkets since November 2022. The time is 12 minutes past five. We're going to go to a short break, and we'll be back with Chris Ashmore for all the latest in sport. Time is quickly approaching 5:15. We're heading over to Chris Ashmore, who's all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Donna Marie. We'll start with Gaelic Games, and the speculation continues in relation to Jim McGuinness becoming the new Donegal senior football manager. A special county committee meeting will take place in Convoy this evening. The only item on the agenda will be an address by the selection committee to the executive and the clubs, with the latest on filling the position of Donegal senior team manager. And it'll be up to the club delegates to ratify the appointment of any new manager. Well, Ireland winning manager McGuinness first took charge of Donegal in 2011. Well, asked what it would mean if McGuinness is ratified as the new manager, regular Highland Radio GAA analyst Brendan Kilcoyne told Oisin Kelly that Division 2 would be a good platform to launch things again.
We were short a lot of players last year, Oisin, going through the championship. We still weren't too far from away from the likes of the Derrys, Tyrone. We obviously have a lot of work to do, but you're in Division 2. It's a good platform for the team to go in and to get all these players back on board and to rejuvenate the whole county scene. Yeah.
Meanwhile, the weekend saw the start of the 2023 Michael Murphy Sports Donegal Junior, Intermediate and Senior Football Championships. On tonight's DL Debate, the championship, John Gilday and Gary McDade will join Brendan Devaney to recap on the opening games of the campaign. And of course, for all the results and some of the reaction from the weekend, you can find more on the sports section of the Highland Radio website. In soccer, Manchester United have confirmed that Mason Greenwood has left the club. The striker saw charges of rape, assault and coercive behaviour dropped earlier this year. Greenwood continues to deny committing those acts, but admits to making mistakes in his relationship. In a statement, the club said all those involved recognise the difficulties with the forward restarting his career at Old Trafford. Andy Mitten, editor of fanzine United We Stand, told Sky Sports News the club has made the right decision.
Sad, it's difficult for lots of parties here, but I think it would have been very difficult for him to come back and play for Manchester United. We saw a big backlash towards the end of last week, and I think the club have taken that on board.
And following Friday's very poor weather conditions, two FAI Cup second round ties need to be settled this evening. UCD and Galway will start from the beginning, despite Friday's fixture being abandoned at half time with Galway 2-0 up. Meanwhile, at Turner's Cross, Cork City play Waterford. And the quarterfinal draw for the Sports Direct FAI Cup takes place tomorrow with Finn Harps in the hat. Meanwhile, Football Association of Ireland President Gerry McEnany has led the tributes to former President and Honorary Life Vice President Tony Fitzgerald, who passed away on Sunday in his native Cork. Fitzgerald served as President of the FAI from 2014 to 2018. Cross Channel, there's a London derby in the Premier League tonight. Crystal Palace take on Arsenal at Selhurst Park with an 8 o'clock start. Meanwhile, Liverpool are appealing the red card shown to Alexis McAllister on Saturday. The midfielder was sent off in the 3-1 win over Bournemouth for a challenge on Ryan Christie. And in athletics, Rashida Adeleke will go in the first of three semi-finals of the women's 400 metres at the World Championships this evening. Charlene Maudsley is drawn in lane one for the second of those semi-finals. They get underway just after 8 o'clock Irish time, with the first two in each semi-final plus the two fastest losers qualifying for the final. In golf, eight golfers, including Ireland's Leona Maguire, have qualified automatically for the upcoming Solheim Cup in Spain. And in rugby, Wales have named dual captains in their Rugby World Cup squad. Flanker Jack Morgan and hooker Dewey Lake play together at the Welsh club Ospreys. And finally, in rowing, four members of Gwydor's Cumann na Gaeilge Club travelled to Warren Point in County Down over the weekend to compete in the Carlingford Lough Curra Club's 18th annual international championships. Well, Cumann na Gaeilge members Fiona Dvioliach and O'Donnell brothers Ronan, Simon and Michael secured an impressive 8 podium finishes. And that's your evening sport.
Thanks, Chris. EU Commissioner Mairead McGuinness says measures will be taken to ensure a European budget that is fit for purpose will be passed. The European budget is due to be reviewed this autumn, with a large allocation set to go to Ukraine. A warning was issued at the McGill Summer School in recent days that it may be one of the biggest issues on the down the tracks for Irish citizens. Commissioner McGuinness says a very close look needs to be taken at how the EU budget is structured.
I think the European budget isn't sort of fully understood, and when people come to me saying, is there money for X project, they presume there'll always be money there. It's finite, it's small. We're now doing more at the European level than we were when this budget was set a number of years ago. So I think the question for Member States, and indeed the Commission will lead this conversation, is do we need to restructure the budget? Do we need specific own resources, not just relying on Member State contributions, in order that we have a budget that's fit for purpose? I've said very clearly that the two big funds, cohesion policy and agriculture policy, take significant parts of the budget. From an Irish point of view, funding for the common agriculture policy is important. We're actually asking farmers to do more now. So I think we need to revise our view of not only the size of the budget, but also allocations to the budget. Conscious as well that we have a war in Ukraine and that we're supporting Ukraine, it's not something that people should fear, but it is something we need to prepare for. I mean, we're talking about enlargement now. It won't happen overnight, but it will happen over time. We will have to decide on the shape of the budget if and when enlargement arrives, and you need to start planning that process now. And I think the conversations will be difficult. How do we fund Europe? A Europe that's going to be different? A Europe that's part of a big global push? I mentioned that we're 7% of EU emissions, but we have huge leadership responsibility to deliver on climate change. And that requires funding to do that.
Having a look to the weather, some bright spells in eastern parts, but mostly cloudy this evening with scattered showers, some heavy. A band of more persistent rain will push in this evening, turning heavy at times. Fresh to strong and gusty southwest winds, strongest in western parts, will reach near gale force for a time in coastal areas. Mostly cloudy for a time with outbreaks of rain and drizzle spreading southeastwards. The rain will clear overnight with clear spells and scattered showers following. That's with lows of 12 to 15 degrees. To conclude this evening's headlines, over €3,000 worth of drugs have been seized in Letterkenny last week. The emergency department at Letterkenny University Hospital remains extremely busy today after a difficult weekend. A man has been remanded in custody after being charged with possessing sensitive documents linked to a major data breach at the PSNI. And police say they are becoming increasingly concerned for the welfare of a missing man with links to Castle Derrick and Oma. That's all for now. The next news updates at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notices this Monday evening, August 21st. The death has taken place of Sheila McGinty, ní Sharkey of Dunluce. Her remains will repose at her home from 7pm this evening. Rosary is nightly at 8pm. House private until 11am. Funeral Mass on Wednesday at 11am in the Church of the Sacred Heart Dunluce, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funerals Director's Facebook page. The death has taken place of Gerly Gallagher, ní Drain, 22 Muckish Avenue, Letterkenny. Reposing at her late residence from 6pm this evening, with rosary each night at 9 o'clock. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Funeral from there on Thursday, going to St Eunan's Cathedral for 2pm Requiem Mass, which can be viewed live on churchservices.tv, followed by burial in the family plot in Conwall Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if wished, to the Donegal Hospice care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director, Letterkenny. The death has taken place of Nuala Walsh, ní Campbell, Cullion, Lettermack Award. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 11:30am to St Bridget's Church, Lettermack Award, for 12am Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the Church of Ireland Graveyard. Family time from 11pm to 11am. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice care of any family member. The death has taken place of Anthony Tony Brosnan Rathmullen, reposing at the Letterkenny Funeral Home, Port Road, from 6pm to 9pm this evening. Removal from there at 5pm tomorrow, going to St Joseph's Church Rathmullen for 6pm to repose overnight. Funeral Mass on Wednesday at 11am, followed by burial in the family plot in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv. All inquiries to Con McDade Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Harold Braden, Millbrae, Quigley's Point. Harold's remains will leave Liam Collins Funeral Home, Station Road, Carndonagh, at 7pm this evening, going to his home. House private, please. Family cremation to take place at a later date. No flowers, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice. The death has occurred of Anna Duffy, Lochinure, Annagry. Her remains are reposing at her home today and from 11 o'clock tomorrow. Rosary at 8pm with house private, please, from after the rosary and on the morning of the funeral. Funeral on Wednesday morning at 11am in the Star of the Sea Church, Annagry, followed by burial in the new cemetery. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice care of any family member or Sean McGlynn Funeral Director. The death has taken place of John Kilcullen, Rahanletter Kenny, formerly of Emily Moran, Castleconnor, Sligo. John's remains are reposing at his late residence until 10pm, with rosary nightly at 9 o'clock. Funeral from his residence on Wednesday afternoon at 12:15 for 1 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, which can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Interment afterwards in Newlick Cemetery, Letterkenny. Family time on the morning of the funeral, please. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to St Eunan's Cathedral Building Fund care of any family member. The death has occurred of Danny Langan, 54, Massenass Cottages, Creasla. Remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass in St Michael's Church, Creasla, on Wednesday at 12 noon. Burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv. family time, please, from 11pm to 11am and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or James Harkin Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Barbara Murray ní Héireadh, 4 Sleaf-Snacht Road, Letterkenny. Barbara's remains will repose at the Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, from 5pm to 6:30pm today, with removal directly afterwards to St Eunan's Cathedral's Letterkenny to repose overnight. Funeral Mass from there tomorrow at 2pm, which can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Interment afterwards in Newlex Cemetery, Letterkenny. The death has occurred of Claire Hannigan ní Ronahan, 3 Knocknamona Terrace, Letterkenny. Reposing at her late residence from 12 noon until rosary at 9pm today. Funeral from there tomorrow to St Eunan's Cathedral for 11am Requiem Mass, which can be viewed live on churchservices.tv, followed by burial in the family plot in Conwall Cemetery. Family time, please, before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if wished, to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Pascal Blake Funeral Director, New Line Road, Letterkenny. The death has occurred of Coleman Doherty, Ollie. Coleman's remains are reposing at his daughter Sandra's residence in Carrickbray, Carndonagh. Requiem Mass tomorrow in the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonagh at 11, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu to any show in Hospice Carndonagh. House private from 11pm to 11am. Coleman's funeral mass can be viewed live on churchmedia.tv. The death has occurred of Seamus McDevitt, Barrack Glen Swilly, Donegal, reposing at his late residence until 10pm today. Funeral mass tomorrow at 12 noon in St Columba's Church, Glen Swilly, with burial afterwards in Kilfeek Cemetery. Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, with donations in lieu of desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Con McDade Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Patrick Gallagher, Donegal Road, Kellybegs, reposing at his residence today until 10pm. Removal tomorrow morning at 10:30am to St Mary of the Visitation Church, Kellybegs, for 11am funeral mass. Burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Mass will be streamed live on mcnmedia.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if so desired, to Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or McBurty Funeral Directors. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.